You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's a good morning and welcome to the Valley of Praise and welcome to our second installment of My Faith and Meets My Profession. And this morning on the line, I've got somebody quite important, somebody that I once worked with. I think it must have been 20 to 25 years ago. And the somebody is within the hoteling industry. But he did not start off in the hoteling industry. He will tell us more about this. We have got Elder Boniso Ncube on the line. Good morning to you, Elder, and welcome to the Valley of Praise.
Good morning, Elder Chuma. How are you doing? Good to speak to you again, and welcome. Good morning to the listeners.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm doing very well. To our listeners, can I tell you something? When I was doing my internship, I did it under Elder Ncube. Hey, man, the man was a slave driver. But Elder Ncube, tell us, you started off in professional cookery. Tell us about that journey. How did you get to be, you are doing something else now, but we'll get to that. How did it start off?
Okay, yeah, man. You see, I was thinking that you know that I started, my first year I started law.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then and I had to change, and I got back home. Mm. I told my mother, I don't want to study law.
Yeah.
I cannot study law. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, what do you want to do? And I said, I wanted to do something to do with water.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Now, my influence came from my ex head boys at school.
Okay.
So the Lionel, that was his name, mm-hmm. Lionel liked me so much. And then when he completed his upper 6 years to go and study hospitality, okay. I don't know, which was a hotel school by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I always liked to see him wearing black suits at times, wearing his chef's uniforms. And mm-hmm. that inspired me. So even when I had to do law, I wanted to do law, mm-hmm. but I later said no. I'm going to go into the hotel industry, and I went and studied professional cookery mm-hmm. as a chef at the Polytech. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it started.
So now you've done this thing for about 30 years or plus.
Yes.
Do you regret moving from law to this profession?
I'll tell you one bit, that ever since I told my mother that I'm moving into professional cookery, I've never regretted it.
Right.
Never. Mm. Yeah. Mm. She said to me, now your Sabbath is gone.
Okay.
You will never see the church on Sabbath. And I said, no. I pray to God. Mm-hmm. And there is a way that I will be able to go to church.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it actually happened when I did my first year, mm-hmm. and the second year we had to go out for work integrated learning.
Yeah,
I went to a big hotel, the Sheraton Hotel. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, the chef says to me, you will have to work for 6 days.
Right.
Choose a day that you will not work, and I chose the Sabbath.
Oh, wow. Wow. Lucky you. Blessed are you.
Yes. Yes.
Right, right.
So a lot of people actually said, chef will never agree that you go on a Saturday off because that's when we are busy. And that chef actually said to me, no, that's okay. You work all that. Are you going to work on a Sunday? And I said, yes, I'll work on a Sunday. Then he said, that's it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But
ever since the time I was in training, I've never worked on a Sabbath.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. But we'll talk about that more as we get into detail. So now, in order for you to become a professional cook, what qualifications did you need?
You needed, of course, to attain your diploma in professional cooking. But before you get into that, there is no cooking experience that you need to have. Mm-hmm. That's how I was. I did not do anything cooking in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually done architect. You know, I went to a technical school.
Okay. Yes.
I had done engineering drawing. I had done, you know, everything to do with my hands in engineering and woodwork and stuff like that.
Right.
Nothing to do with cooking. And then I went into the professional cooking. Mm-hmm. All they needed was English and mathematics at that particular time. That's
it. Okay. And didn't you feel at that time choosing a profession like cookery was for women? I mean, growing up in the 80s, that would have been thought, you're doing something that's for women.
Very true, actually. Very true. I'll tell you, there were two classes that I went to.
Right.
There was one class to do hotel management.
Right.
And then one class to do the chef's course.
Right.
So when I was asked, I was told I qualify in any of the two.
Right.
And then somehow I just said, no, I want to do a chef's course.
Right.
Because I thought that was a more practical. I did not know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when the interviewer said to me, this is more about cooking, and it's not just cooking at home, but it's knowing what to do with the food.
Right.
I said, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I really never thought it's for ladies.
Okay.
I
guess by the time I came through, as I was doing my internship, I realized that we had more men than women within that course.
Yes.
And I just wonder, I want to quickly touch on that. Is there a reason, Elder Ncube, why women seem to be shying away from the professional cookery practice? Is there a particular reason? Or I don't know. It seems it's more dominated by men.
You know, at that time, that profession was more practical.
Right.
So there was more of, if I can call it, hard labor at that time.
Okay.
But things were changing then.
Yeah.
Things were really changing to say, no, this is not a physical job.
Yeah.
This is a mental job.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think most ladies shied away because they thought it was more physical than anything.
All right.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the long hours. Let's talk about the long hours, because from my experience, I've seen professional chefs coming in at, say, at 6, and sometimes going, when you think you're knocking off, you're then told, no, there's a large group coming through. We need all hands on deck. And then you find yourself going right up to midnight. How did you manage those long hours, and what was the drawback in terms of working those long hours?
Well, I'm glad now that all that has changed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We work normal hours. Well, if you're still a chef, you work normal hours like everyone else.
Yeah.
Back then there was not a lot of machinery that was at work.
Yeah.
That was the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
But now we use a lot of machinery. We use a lot of artificial intelligence as well is involved in that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So those long hours, they are the things of the past, which unfortunately some of us were subjected to that, yes.
Mm.
But I think it was because of the development and the changes in technology that has brought it to a normal working hour like any other working environment.
You being a very active person within the church, loving to sing in groups, did it not take away your time in terms of practicing with the groups? Because I know most back in the 80s, 90s, most groups practiced on Sundays.
Yes. To be honest with you, it did take away part of my time.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I used to sing with a certain group, a male group in Blaai or even in Harare. I used to sing a group.
Yeah.
So lucky enough, we would have practices on Sabbath evenings.
Okay.
Because unfortunately, on Sunday I was working. So this is why I'm saying, it did take away part of my time.
Yeah.
But look, I never stopped. I never stopped. I, you know it. I still went for practice whenever I could.
Yeah. And let's look at the Christian environment there. You go into this environment, and this environment is dominated by men. This environment, I've never really been in a chef's kitchen. I used to pass out on the outside. I never really, really got into the meat and bones of it. But I know that men can be actually very vulgar, very abrasive. How did you handle that kind of environment where you are a Christian and then all of a sudden you are a young man and you are in this environment where respect is not generally the first rule of thought?
Yeah, that's very true. It used to be like that, where the chefs were very, very vulgar.
Yeah.
Until one chef said to me, "You are such a calm chef. You're not supposed to be a chef." Then I said, "No, I am a Christian chef."
Okay.
That's why I don't engage in that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But didn't
that's a general belief. It had nothing to do with the profession, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
But didn't that make you seem like a sissy boy?
Actually, not at all.
Okay.
Because most of the younger chefs were running for protection.
Okay.
To me. I mean, from me. They were seeking it from me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now let's move with the journey. Now, being a chef also means that you might be in a place for a particular time, but chefs move quite a lot because of opportunities and environments. How did you balance that to say you are now moving towards a phase where you want to have a family, or you've already got a family, but you find yourself moving from place to place? Did that have an effect on you, or what challenges came along with that?
Good question, Mr. Chuma, because I think you need to balance that.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate that I met someone who knew what sort of an industry I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I met someone who would support, and she still supports.
Mm-hmm.
That movement of being a chef,
mm-hmm.
you will not run away from it.
Yeah.
As long as you are a competitive chef, as long as you are a good chef,
yeah.
you'll be forced to move.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened with me.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife was. Well, she understood
yeah.
that I had to move.
No, that's quite challenging. Let me
it's
ask.
Very challenging. Yeah.
Let me ask you this one. This one is very interesting for me, Elder Ncube. You are a chef.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
the menu says ribs, pork ribs.
Yeah.
How have you navigated that space?
I don't eat the pork. I don't eat the pork ribs.
Okay, you don't eat the pork ribs.
I don't eat the pork ribs. I'll tell you one interesting thing.
Yeah.
That when I got to one certain place that I'll talk about later on,
mm-hmm.
it was mostly mm-hmm. pork that was being cooked there.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them straight that I'm not going to be able to work with pork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the chef did not understand. 2 days later, there was a Muslim chef that came
yeah.
through
mm-hmm.
and understood that I should not work with pork.
Wow. Wow.
Because that there was a chef that could not work with fish. You know,
mm-hmm.
because he was allergic to
right.
fish.
Right.
So when this Muslim chef came, he said to our main chef that no, maybe he is allergic. I did not tell him that I'm allergic. I just said I'm not going to work with pork.
Okay. Okay.
Then he just said no, maybe he is allergic. He's not going to work with pork. Let somebody help him, and let someone let him tell that person what to do with the pork. And
okay.
the person will work with the pork. Okay. And so I could tell them what to do, right. But they will work with pork. I never worked with pork.
Right.
Okay.
Well, look, I know Elder Ngube. Elder Ngube is a straight talker, and I guess being a straight talker is quite helpful, Elder Ngube. Standing up for what you believe in, because I've worked with you before. So I would know Elder Ngube. He was a straight talker. He was once upon a time my boss, so I would know exactly what to expect. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Elder Ngube, who is, we're talking about the chef industry, the professional cookery industry within the hotel.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.